Okay, today is a little bit of a different Sunday. We have the kneeler right here because we are doing the ordination and installation of three men this morning to the office of elder here, Church of the Redeemer, if my voice holds up. I have a man cold, and as you know, those things can be fatal. As we do that, providentially, we are in John chapter 10, where Jesus talks about being the good shepherd. One of the things I appreciate about our modern education today, our modern kind of culture of child rearing, is that we emphasize to all of our young people that everyone is a leader, that they have leadership potential, a leadership kind of responsibility, and a leadership dynamic, that they have an impact on people around them. Even if they're not kind of eventually upfront leading some company or some team, that if you're a human being, you're a leader and an influencer. This morning, we look at Jesus Christ, the leader that he is, the shepherd that he is. So if you would read along with me in John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division amongst the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Let's pray. God and Heavenly Father, would you open our eyes that we might see you? Lord, we ask you to continue your good work this morning. Would you draw us deeper into your presence? Would you open our eyes to see you? Would you open our hearts to receive you? Lord, what we need this morning is more than a few insights into the Word of God. What we need, Lord, this morning is much, much more than more knowledge. What we need, Lord, this morning is you. So would you give us your very self? Would you meet us? Would you draw us to yourself? Would you do whatever it takes, Lord, to increase our experience, deepen our relationship with you, that we might worship you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I'm going to have a shorter sermon. And as we do that, there's kind of multiple kind of applications here. First of all, as we ordain and install three elders, there's a definite application for them. They are being set aside as shepherds here at Church of the Redeemer. And we go to the Good Shepherd to find out what it means to shepherd. And so in one sense, this is for Matt and for David and for Chuck. But in a sense, this is also for all of us. Because as a congregation, you will be taking vows to regard these people as your shepherds, to be sheep under their care. And then also, as I've said, we see in the Word of God and we see it emphasized in our culture today that if you are a Christian, you are a leader. If you are a Christian, you are a priest. If you are a Christian, you are a shepherd in this world. Whether you think of yourself as a leader, whether you're an extrovert or an introvert, whether you're a man or whether you're a woman, whether you are a grandparent or whether you are a young single person or even a high school or middle school student sitting up there in the back row. Hey, guys. We are called to be shepherds. And that's what we see here in this passage is the good shepherd. This is what it means to be a leader. This is what it means to be a leader. What we see here in this passage, two things. First one I'm going to be brief about. Second one I'm going to be a little bit longer about. First of all, we see that we are sheep. Secondly, that he is the good shepherd. Look back with me at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. There is a shepherd, and we are his sheep. Verse 12 tells us more about what it feels like to be a sheep. He who is a hired man, hand, and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. What does that tell us about what it feels like to be a sheep? Verse 12. We are sheep. What does verse 12 say about the experience of sheep? Sheep are vulnerable. We are sheep, and sheep are vulnerable. Sheep are attacked. We are sheep, and there are powers at work in this world that seek to attack us, to destroy us, to deceive us, to use us. Last week we talked about those who don't come through the gate, pastors or leaders or people who want your attention, who want your regard, who want your money, who want your affirmation, who want you to be their followers. But they do not primarily emphasize pointing you to Christ. We are sheep, and sheep are vulnerable. It's funny that, and it really is funny that God uses this metaphor so often to describe us. There are other metaphors he could have used. Shepherds were not some great noble profession back in the ancient Near East. This is not the equivalent of saying, I am the good doctor, and you are doctors too. Or I am the wonderful lawyer, and you are lawyers too. Shepherds, it was an okay profession. But if you're a good mom or a good dad back in then, and your little five-year-old said, I want to be a shepherd when I grow up, you're probably like, well, I hope you can be a little bit more than a shepherd, honey, but if that's where you end up, that's fine. But God uses this metaphor deliberately. There are other animals much more intelligent than sheep. I mean, he could have said, you're the Labrador puppies. You know, I know there's a bunch of you out there are cat people. You know, cats are super smart, vindictive, evil, but super smart. You are the cats. You are the dolphins. You know, you are whatever. But no, we are the sheep. Let me read to you what a professor of philosophy said about this. He said, the existence of sheep is prima facie evidence against the theory of evolution. There is no way that sheep could have survived. There are some of the most unfortunate creatures in the animal kingdom. They have very small brains and limited intelligence. They are listless wanderers. As creatures of habit, they will follow old paths again and again and again, despite danger, through desolate and dangerous places, even though there is more excellent grazing nearby. They're absolutely defenseless. A sheep can't put up a fight, and they can't even run very fast if they want to run away. There's probably no livestock that takes more work than sheep. If they lie down or relax too much and roll over on their side, sheep can very easily get into a position where they can't get up. They are needy, needy creatures. And God says to us, we're sheep. He is a shepherd and we are the sheep. Now, this might feel insulting, right? Because that's not the culture that we kind of live in terms of kind of affirmation about our dignity and our power and our autonomy and our agency in this world. I thought about reading some of the what they call the Darwin Awards. You may have seen this on the interwebs. There's a thing every year where they give a Darwin Award, which is basically kind of highlighting someone who did something so incredibly bizarre or stupid or unwise that it led to their death, thus kind of weeding out the weak. One of them was this fascinating story about a defense lawyer who was defending his client who was accused of killing somebody on his family with a gun. And his excuse was, or his the client's rationale was, that the person had a gun and they were trying to kind of clean it. And it was the prosecuting lawyer was showing to the court how ridiculous this theory was, that this could happen. And so he took the exact same model of gun, took a bullet, held it up to the court, and moved it around and shot himself. And he died in court. And so I thought about talking about some of those, but that's a little morbid. So I thought I'd do this instead. This is from a web series of Why Women Live Longer Than Men. Corey's going to grab some lights for us here. Okay, so we start off with a trampoline, okay? Trampolines are great. Oh, wait till the lights go down. We'll see that a little bit clearer. So there's some guys setting up a trampoline. Nice guys. Out there in that kind of pretty patio. We are sheep. You want some help getting that kitchen appliance home? Yeah, sure, call a buddy. Police officers, they're not sheep. Now, I have a chainsaw, and I love woodworking, and I have a scar in my head from limb lopping, so I love this one here. Okay, see where the top of the ladder is anchored? Guys, we should help out around the home, right? We should clean, we should help out around the home, just like this. This is also a high rise. Guys working together in a team. I don't know if you can see that. There's like five guys on top of each other, just with power cables, that's all. Power cables. You know, hey, can you help me move this ladder? I've got to take this ladder across town. Isn't that awesome? Guys in danger. That's a shell and a guy with a knife and a hatchet seeking to disarm that shell. We're sheep. Corey, you can grab those lights. He is the good shepherd, and we are the sheep of his flock. I know that this is somewhat offensive to talk about this today, but we're sheep. Not just men doing stupid things, but we all are sheep, men and women, old people and young people. There's this great myth. The myth of human progress, that we are getting better and better and better. And one day soon we will kind of finally have cracked the code. Look around at our world today. We are more addicted. We are more alone. We are more anxious. We are more stressed. We're more divided. We are less happy. We're sheep. There are studies upon studies upon studies that show that every country that has increased in wealth, that has become more prosperous, has become less happy. The loss of happiness in marketplace democracies. It's a research fact. But as sheep, what do we want? What do we think we need? We think we need more money. And that will make us happier. And it's not true. We have small brains like sheep. We keep on following the same dangerous path, even though it's a dangerous path. Modern education emphasizes and affirms, okay, you guys listening to me up there, that you in middle school and in high school, you have limitless potential. You can do whatever you want. You can be whatever you want. Follow your heart's desire. It is true. You are made in the image of God. And He has given you and us dominion over this world. That is true. You're beautifully made in the image of God and you have agency to impact. It's true. And listen to me. You're a sheep too. You're like a small-brained animal that does stupid things and doesn't think through things. Not just because you're young, but you'll be the same, you know, when you're my age. And so as you hear about your potential, know also, remember, never forget that you're a sheep and you're a danger to yourself too. And that's the same for all of us. We are sheep. We do, right? We do really stupid things. Not just once, but again and again and again. We are almost not to be trusted. We need a good shepherd. And the question is not, will I let God be my shepherd? Will I let Jesus be my shepherd? But the question is, who is my shepherd? It's not a choice of, will I let someone lead me? It's who will lead me? Because our society shepherds us. It leads us. It influences us. It moves us. Society and culture and advertising and movers and shakers, they are shepherding us. There's some fascinating studies and reports that are coming out of how people, big companies, big data, are now using social media and Facebook to really move people from where they are to where they want them to be. It's a fascinating company that may have had a significant influence in Brexit, which freaked everyone out and surprised everybody. But they have come up with algorithms to figure out how to direct market to people where they are and just to nudge them a little step further with fake news or advertisements or news reports. And they are doing it. We are being led. We're being led. We might think that's ridiculous. We might think that's absurd. But it's true. We are sheep and we are being led. The question is, will we let Jesus be our good shepherd? You might think that is ridiculous that you're an autonomous being, but even our own autonomy needs to be questioned. We are not fit to lead ourselves. Our own desires and feelings are deceptive and can be deceptive. It's good to tell someone to follow their heart, as long as we know that, what does the Bible say about the heart? It's deceitful and wicked above all else. Our hearts are not pure. Our desires are not all divinely inspired. We need God to shepherd our hearts. Sometimes if we follow our hearts, well, we've seen that where that can lead, right? You start following your heart, chances are it might not lead you to a very healthy place. We are sheep, and we need a shepherd. Secondly, He is the good shepherd. Again, three applications here. This talks to us about who God is and how we relate to Him. Secondly, what it means to be a shepherd or an elder. And thirdly, what it means for us to be priests in this world as we see Him as the good shepherd. It's the word good there in John 10 is a deep word. It's not just a superficial word. The word good here is important. It means honest, honorable, fine, beautiful, precious. It's not just a kind of mediocre kind of good. It's deep and it's rich. He is the beautiful, the precious, the honorable shepherd. What do we see about what it means that he is a good shepherd? Well, look at verse 12. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He's the committed shepherd. He's the committed shepherd. He's not going to run away. He doesn't flee at the first sign of danger or inconvenience. And wolves are scary. He is the committed shepherd. He's committed to be your shepherd, to protect you from danger. To protect you from danger. He's a committed shepherd. Look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Did you catch what he's saying there? How well does Jesus know you? What does it say? How does it tell us? How well does Jesus know you? He knows you as well as the Father knows him. And he knows the Father. I mean, that's mind-blowing. He doesn't just know you a little bit. He knows his sheep to the same degree that he knows his Father. And he's part of the Trinity. I mean, they're equal and eternal. God knows you as much as he knows the Father. He's the intimate shepherd. We saw last week that the shepherd knows his sheep and he calls them by name. It's repeated in verse 16. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. The sheep that he is seeking, they know his voice. He's intimate. He's intimate. He knows us by name. I'm not great with names, especially on a Sunday morning where my complete mess. People's names. I realize that when I forget someone's name and have to ask them a third time. You know, it communicates something more than, hey, he's not particularly good with names. It can communicate, you don't really know me, you're not really listening to me, you're not really interested in me. God knows you by name. And he will call you by name. He is the intimate shepherd. He's the intimate shepherd. Verse 16. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. This is us. Jesus, for us, is the seeking shepherd. He's the seeking shepherd. Unless you're ethnically Jewish, this refers to you. If you've been found by Jesus Christ and are a Christian, it's because Jesus left the flock of Israel and said, I have other sheep that I need to go and get. And this is you. Jesus sought you. And he found you. We were all the lost sheep. Jesus is the seeking shepherd. He's not content just with his own. He doesn't say, okay, I got a good mass here. I got a good number. He is the one who seeks the lost sheep. And we're the sheep that keep on getting lost, right? This just doesn't talk about Jesus finding us once. We're the kind of the lost sheep and the prodigal son and the prodigal daughter. It's kind of a recurring performance, right? We wander off and he seeks us. He seeks us and he finds us. This also reminds us that he is a missional shepherd. That God desires to see the lost sheep in the world found. That Christians are not just shepherds who stay home, but we go out. We are not just content with the flock we have or the friends that we have. That he is the sheep, the seeking shepherd. Look what it says halfway through verse 16. See that second sentence? I must bring them also. There's urgency and emphasis in that. I must find the lost sheep. We need to pray this. God, help me to be a seeking shepherd. Help me just not to be too busy with myself and my life and my home or my friends or my family. Take me out. Whether I'm an extrovert or an introvert, help me be a shepherd like you who is following you into the world. To be a seeking shepherd. Lastly, he is a sacrificial shepherd. Five times in this passage we heard this, didn't we? Look again at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. What's the first thing that's said about the good shepherd? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He lays down his life for the sheep. It's astounding. The sheep are not there for his own ego. He lays down his life for the sheep. Five times. We're going to look at all of them. Verse 15. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life. Verse 18. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my fathers. Jesus tells us here again and again and again that the good shepherd is the one who lays down his life for the sheep. And he does it willingly, of his own accord. Yes, the Father has charged him to do this, but no one is going to force him. He willingly lays down his life for the sheep. He willingly will go to the cross. God, Jesus, the one who holds the world together in his palm, the one who is the light of the world, the one through whom all things were created, he will lay down his life. He will die on a cross that the lost sheep might be found. This is what it means to be a good shepherd, to be committed, to be intimate, to be a seeking shepherd, to be a sacrificial shepherd. These are what God is to us. Yes, we are sheep, and that's kind of insulting and humiliating, but we are deeply loved and pursued. God desires to know us, to find us, to call us by name, to find us when we get lost, to sacrifice himself for us. This is what it means to be a shepherd here at Church of the Redeemer. This is what it means to lay down your life for the flock. Not that you might have a position, have an authority, have power, be seen as a leader, get to change things, to kind of be up front. But to lay down your life for the sheep. This is what it means for us to shepherd wherever we are shepherding. At our workplace, with our families, with our spouses, with our friends, or with our children. To be the intimate, committed, sacrificial, seeking shepherd. And this is what it means for us to be known by God. You put the lights for me, Corey. I've shown some of these before. Jesus as the good shepherd is an enduring kind of image. It's a much, much loved image, especially Jesus and the lost sheep. Here's some art that depicts what it looks like for Jesus to be the shepherd. Oopsie, there we go. There's Jesus in his white clothes with his little lammy. The romantic sunset in the hills. It's flowing hair. It's Jesus the shepherd. He's another one of my favorites. It's Jesus the shepherd with his blow-drying hair. You know, he's got that smile. He's got that handsome, rugged face. He's got a blue thing around him. He's got that little glow. Kind of, you see that glow around his head? You know? Glorious. Here's one that reminds me somewhat of a clean, kind of brave heart shepherd Jesus. It's kind of like Mel Gibson and Braveheart, right? But someone who's been showered and had their hair done. Look how beautifully white that robe is. You know, he's got the shepherd, the little lamb comfortably in his hand. He's got a shepherd's kind of crook there, his stick, and the other sheep is kind of nuzzling up to him. That's a manageable sized lost sheep, isn't it? Well, here's how Jesus being the good shepherd who seeks the lost sheep was depicted in the early church. This is from a catacomb from 390 AD. Look at the size of that sheep. That sheep is heavy. That's a sheep. That's the lost lammy. That's the lost sheep. And that's the shepherd who picks up the lost sheep and carries it home. Look at some other pictures that are more realistic about what shepherds actually look like and what it takes to be a shepherd. It's a Romanian shepherd. He's carrying a sheep, and that sheep is not light. This is an Indian Himalayan shepherd. See his pearly white robe? See his blow-dried hair? See his manicured beard? No. To be a shepherd is dirty work. To be a shepherd is an ignoble task. To be a shepherd is muddy, dirty, wet, damp, and smelly. And Jesus is the good shepherd. The one who comes and finds us when we've wandered off, who climbs the hills and looks in the valleys, to find us in our dirty and damp and wet places. To find us when we smell the stench of pride or sloth or lust or greed or arrogance. And picks us up and carries us home. That's the depth of his love. Is it humbling to be reminded that you're a sheep? Yeah. But as we are reminded of that, we see the unending depths of his grace. That he doesn't care that we're sheep. He's going to come and find us and call us by name. And even though we are sheep and he is divine, his desire is to know us as intimately as he knows the Father. May you know Jesus to be your good shepherd. Follow him. Follow him. You will follow somebody or something, even if it's just the impure, twisted desires of your own heart. Follow the good shepherd and let him find you. Let's pray. God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the good shepherd. May we celebrate that. May we be thankful for that. May we revel in that. And would you help us to follow you? Would you help us to follow you? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.